We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. Peterborough United lost 0-3 at home to the Imps Lincoln City today. It was pretty gutless and we are very frustrated after that. Although we did in this episode give a lot of credit to Lincoln City for how they played. Today I was joined by Ashley, Lods and Dell to dissect it. I'm Harry. We also talked a bit about Fergie's position again and where it leaves him and for how long do we persist with him if results don't continue to come, because you know we're in a real relegation scrap here. A few notices. This episode is sponsored by Prime Vehicle Sales. They deal in used vehicles. They're based out of Sawtrey. And if you are thinking of changing your vehicle or upgrading it, consider a used vehicle from Prime Vehicle Sales. They're really great down there. And their host Ashley's mum's business, so he will really appreciate it. Especially we'd like to thank Pete, who we got a donation from. In fact, we met Pete in the fan zone today. It was great to meet you and get a couple of pictures with you as well. For those of you who are open to making a donation to the pod, you're able to do so on our website. It goes without saying that running a podcast like this has a lot of costs that come with it. We want to keep delivering for you the product that you deserve as our listeners. And if you are able to support us with some of the running costs, it goes a very long way and we'll really appreciate it. Finally, Up the Poshcast has been nominated for an FCA. If you don't know what that is, it's the Football Content Awards. And we've been nominated in the Best Club Content Creator category under the Football League section. Please, if you are able to, give us a vote. If you go on the FCA website, go down to, as I've said, the Best Club Content Creator area to the Football League section and give Up the Poshcast your vote. It will go a very long way. We're up against several championship clubs, so it's going to be tough going. Every vote counts. And if you've already voted for us, thank you. We massively appreciate it. And if you haven't already, please consider lending your vote to Up the Poshcast. And with that, enjoy the episode. I'm sure you will if you're watching and you're an Imps fan. Three nil. Ashley, I see you have a corner flag behind you. What did you make of the game?
Well, I thought we were back for the last two games. It turns out that we are most definitely not. And this 30-man squad that we've got is still not capable of showing just a little bit of gut, a little bit of passion, a little bit of desire. Saw absolutely none of that today. There were lots of things today that felt okay and average, but there was so much that was just so poor. We've had a week off this last week and it looked like we were the team that had gone 90 minutes against Chelsea, and there were players just not doing the running and the basics. And how many times do we have to say it? As Posh fans, we don't ask for a great deal, but just run for 90 minutes. It's not a difficult concept. It's the easiest process of the lot. I've got the flag behind me because I don't think Fergie was at fault today. I think the players are at fault. You can disagree with me if you like. We can discuss that later on. But I don't think the players are playing for Fergie anymore. So the only thing that's going to change, you can't bring in 30 more players and replace the 30 that we've got. The only thing that can change is the manager. And Maybe it is time. I thought that we were back, Wickham and Plymouth, but it's clear to see that we're not, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, you're right. A couple of games, you know, I thought a bit of progress was coming up, especially like the draw and then the win at Plymouth. And then today, it just felt flat again. It went back to like pre the last couple of games, and it was flat, and there was like some silly mistakes happening, and just they was getting to the first ball all the time. And where do we draw the line? You know, you just alluded to it there, Ash, is the players ain't playing for him. It's the same players that was last week. How can they be so different this week? It's I don't know. It's not good to watch. It's disappointing. It's something has got to happen, and something's got to happen quick, because it's not working now. And if that does mean that Darren goes, then so be it. But unless we do something, we will be relegated. Simple as that. Not even in a relegation fight, we will be relegated. What are we now? Are we back to the bottom of the league again? I assume we are. Are we not? No? Second from bottom? Okay, well, they're still shitty. It's not great, is it? So, you know, the effort, and the crowd is a decent crowd today as well. And it looked quite full, even though it nearly 10,000. So the fans are turning up to watch shit, really. It's just not good enough. I don't expect to win every game. What I do expect, and I've said it a million times, I do expect to see the players actually putting a shift in. And I don't think we saw enough of that today. And I think you'll see that from all of our ratings, because all of us, I think, was pretty equal with our ratings today. But something's got to happen, and something's got to happen quite quickly, because, you know, we're a quarter of the way through with the season, 10 games nearly, and don't see anything that is inspiring me to think we're going to get out of the position we're in. So let's see what happens soon, quickly.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I've seen almost every game this season. I wasn't at Exeter away, and this for me is the first one where I've come away thinking effort was the single biggest factor in the reason why we didn't get anything out of this game. Because with a lot of the other ones earlier in the season, it was just ability. We just did not have the ability. The players were trying. Even against Wigan, that 2-0, which was abject, at least I wasn't questioning commitment from anybody. But today, Lincoln brought a level of fight and determination, especially in 50-50s, in willingness to cut passing lanes so four people would come at once. They timed themselves in the way they were pressing. And that takes effort, determination, focus. And we looked much more like everyone was terrified to get on the ball, weren't willing to fight hard enough to win the balls. And occasions, passes were just being dumped off to a player at feet, not on the run. And then it was expected to them to try and do something with it. But no one was making a run off the ball. And Lincoln, within a moment, had blocked every passing lane and had players charging down. This was especially true on the wings, where I'll come to it later on the tactical stuff, but we were just completely tactically outthought today. And it was no more obvious than the wingbacks getting isolated every single time they had the ball. Prefacing it there a little bit, I think there was not only a lack of competitive intensity from the players today, but just the tactical setup from Fergie. While you can't necessarily predict it going into a game that your 5-3-2 that's worked for the last 3 weeks, even though we lost against Huddersfield, I'd still argue that we were far improved. Even though it's worked, it's now not working today, but we were unable to adapt. For me, that is on Fergie.
Yeah, I suppose there's two ways of looking at this, really. We've had two good wins, but I wouldn't say that either win was a comfortable win. We played a lot better compared to what we did at the beginning of the season, but I don't think either of them were convincing. And definitely the style of football we were playing wasn't exactly what we were used to. We've come into this one, and I agree with you 100%, Harry. I think this is just another game where the opposition was just so much tactically better than us. And if you compare this game to the last two games where we were able to let them play and counter-attack on them in the previous two games compared to today where Lincoln did that to us, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we can keep possession, but we can't do anything with it. And that's exactly the same issues that we had at the beginning of the season. Do I blame Fergie? I'm not sure. I think there is an element of the players not playing for him. I certainly felt that with the midfield. And on another day, you know, we had two very good chances in the first half. There was the one that hit the post that could have gone in. And then that header that fell to Archie Collins. I think any other player on the pitch, that probably would have gone a bit closer towards the goal. And then even in the second half, that chance towards the end, being 9 times out of 10, that's probably on target as well. I think the disappointment comes when we went 2-0 down and our reaction to that, we just did not look like we wanted to score a goal. There was like so many opportunities where we should have been flooding players into the box and just wasn't happening. And it was like you're watching the two teams and it didn't feel like we were 2-0 down. It felt like it was still 0-0. And I don't know if that's a Fergie thing or a players thing, but like you guys have already said, we need to sort it out quick because we can't carry on like this.
No, you're right. We can't go on like this. And although I've said that I don't blame Fergie today, one thing that I do blame him for is bringing Abraham Otto onto the pitch. Now, I've discussed this with a few people after the game. Abraham Otto is not very well liked at Peterborough United, is he? We're 1-0 down. Were we 2-0 down when Abraham Otto came onto the pitch? I'm not entirely sure. But you need a game changer. And what better way to just piss off the London Road fans than to bring on Abraham Otto, who quite frankly today did absolutely nothing. Is that a surprise? No, it isn't. Well, here we are talking about Abraham Otto again, being crap for Peterborough United again. What a disappointment. Fergie obviously didn't send his team out to let Lincoln score from 35 yards from a free kick. He obviously didn't send his team out to let the ball bounce in the box and score from a throw-in. He obviously didn't expect his striker, who's been in good form so far, to have hit the post. That's unfortunate. That's an unlucky miss, I think. And he would probably expect any other player on the pitch other than Archie Collins to have put that header in the back of the net. On a different day, it's 2-1 Peterborough United at half-time, potentially even 3-1 if there was another chance that Lodge mentioned earlier. The difficult thing is just sort of gauging what's going on. And that's the thing that I struggle with Fergie at the moment, is that I appreciate that Frith is injured. I appreciate that Hayes is injured. I appreciate that Lisby has maybe not been very well. But I'd have rather seen somebody like Harley Mills on the bench today. He's come on. He's played. Otto's played left wing back or on the left side, let's call it. Harley Mills could have done that job. And he would have been probably a lot better than Abraham Otto. That's my difficulty with Fergie at the moment. But I still don't blame him for the fact that we've lost 3-0 today.
I don't know. I do still blame him to a fair degree. If I'm to deep dive a little bit more into the tactical problems, straight from the get-go, it was obvious that Lincoln were going to be able to create massive isolation spots on the side of the pitch just by purely being a 4-4-2 versus a three-back formation, which is so common. I hesitate to use abstract examples from Premier League years gone, but the reason Antonio Conte's three at the back stopped working was because Arsene Wenger worked out that you just have to play 4-4-2 against it and you were able to beat it. And then everyone else started playing 4-4-2 against Conte and it was over. So we've seen it before that when it's three at the back, playing two at the top often dismantles it. And we saw why today, because once you have a wing back on their own on the wing with no other support, and especially today we have two forwards staying so narrow, you get blocked off with any sense of play. Their striker, their winger, their nearest midfielder and their fullback all able to coordinate to block off Mendy, to block off Kyoso from doing anything meaningful. That was one part to it. And the other thing was just simply the opposite of what's been the issue for a lot of the season, where we've not been good enough in either box. Today, we weren't good enough in the middle third. That was where the game was won and lost. Outside of Lincoln's three chances that they scored, they had P-rollers go into Bass's hands other than that. So they've taken their chances as they came, but we know from watching it, we were clearly the worse off team throughout the momentum of it, which was all from the fact that their midfield completely dominated Collins, Keller and Garbutt. And as nice as Garbutt's through ball to JJ was, which was exceptionally good, he did it against Plymouth and now he's done it against Lincoln. Garbutt to JJ link up is great, but that was pretty much his one and only good moment in the entire game. Collins was pretty much anonymous, gave away the free kick that led to their goal. Keller, he got one nice tackle in the first half, but beyond that, we were overrun. And the way they could have solved that, I think, was with a bit of help from Fergie, recognizing that we had to, at the very least, match them up in a 4-4-2. And without that, adapting was going to be so, so difficult when you're out there and you've been told clearly, as two strikers, to stay narrow, wing backs to stay wide, midfielders to stay relatively consistent in the centre. It needed so much more dynamism. And I am including Fergie in my criticism, because clearly they were coached, I think, today to play the way they did. And they were found out positionally so many times by Lincoln because of that.
Yeah, look, I think it's probably a fair comment to discuss Lincoln and say that they were just really efficient today, weren't they? And everything that Jake told us on Countdown to Kickoff was going to happen pretty much happened, didn't it? They were happy to let us have the ball. They didn't really cause us too many issues when they had the ball. But at the end of the day, they've got the 3 points. They've taken it home, haven't they? We discussed last week, you guys, when you recorded the final whistle episode after Plymouth, that it was nice to watch a streetwise performance. Well, we've gone to some new streets today, because Sonny Bradley at the back, I think it was Jackson, his centre-back partner, they were just on it pretty much from the get-go today. And we never really looked like we troubled them once we, in the second half in particular, they sort of just saw us out of the game. They were comfortable with it. Like you mentioned, Harry, our midfield was really poor today, but that was probably a sign that Lincoln's midfield was just so on it and happy to let us have the space with them in front or behind of us, whichever way you want to say it. And then their striker, James Collins, he's just a good guy. He's just a good footballer, isn't he?
I have something to tell you, actually, a stat I know from someone who wasn't watching the game, because they saw when we went 1-0 down, at that point in the game, Lincoln had 60% possession to our 40. But of course, by the end, we had 60% possession. So they adapted, right? They were front foot, they scored, and then they sat in. Again, another sign of a good team.
Yeah, they've done what they needed to. That's as simple as it gets, right?
I think there was a lot of long balls that came over as well, wasn't there? They were just soaked up the pressure, plumped the long ball over, and we just couldn't deal with them. We're just weak at the back, aren't we? We're not the aerially strong team that we want to be. We've signed all these big lads that still can't really deal with those balls, especially in the wider areas. And there was actually a lot of times in the first half, especially, that I thought Lincoln had a lot of opportunities to cross the ball in the box. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. There were poor crosses, poor passes. I think the front two, they weren't really linking up that well. But on another day, I think they could have easily had a lot more chances. And like you say, Ashley, they played really well, Lincoln. I've never slated that kind of football. I think you play the best style of football you need to play to win. And like I said before, you play that way against the Fergie side and you're pretty much guaranteed to give them a problem. And it's just such a shame that we still haven't worked it out. And actually, there's a comment that Dara made on Hard Truth this week about us playing this way for now so we can get safe and then we'll add the flair in later on in the season. What did he mean by that? Because I'm watching us pass the ball around and I'm watching us not be able to get the ball into the final third. And I'm thinking, this is where the flair is needed. We need those cute little passes into the space. We need those little runs. We need that, you know, that little skill move to get past the man so we can outnumber them. We're lacking it at the moment. That's where the flair's needed. And I'm thinking, is Dara saying that because we're not playing wingers, but we're now in a position where our two best wingers are injured for quite a long period of time? We're not going to be changing to the 4-2-3-1 anytime soon, are we? We're stuck playing this 3-5-2 system now, because what we're going to do, play Odo and Lisby on the wings? It's just not strong enough. There's no one in our starting lineup we can drop to do that. And I'm just so fed up of seeing teams come to London Road playing their style of football, doing it so well against us. And just, it's another game where the away fans have got the GH stand and they're all celebrating at the end.
I actually, I agree with Eric. Well, I don't agree. I see where he's coming from about, you know, playing ugly to get the results. But unfortunately, at the moment, we're playing ugly and we're not getting the results. I think, obviously, in the last 2 weeks, we got a bit lucky, got the win, which Plymouth, which was a good performance in a way. We, as in we've done what we needed to do to get a result. But I get what you're saying. We need to play ugly to get the results. That's fine. And then we can work on the thingy. But we're not even playing ugly. We're playing fucking horrible. It's not pleasing on the eye. Whereas everyone's alluded to Lincoln, they were very effective and very efficient, and they've done what they had to do. But I won't talk about the team anymore. But I think what I've got to do is give Lincoln City fans a little bit of credit. They didn't shut up the whole game, you know. Even at 0-0 all the way through, that they was very loud, they was very supportive, though, and rightly so, being up the top where they are. Where are they, second or third, first? I just know they're up there, but their fans were superb, to be fair. And that hurts saying that, because we didn't shut them, quiet them down. You know, if we had put in a performance that stifled them or nullified them or whatever, then they wouldn't have been as loud as what they were. But they were very good for 90 minutes. And in fact, they're probably one of the best lot of fans from a voice point of view that have been at London Road all season. On that point, I think we need to do everything we can as a club to try and get the best out of the team. You know, we've already said about giving them a GH stand. Fuck over every team, right? Put them in the little AB block. Or is it CD? AB. Put them in AB. Even if the GH is empty, don't give them the thing behind the goal, because that's just giving them like the 12th man. At the moment, I think we need, and that's me saying about using a GH, we have got to do everything that we can to help our team get some results. And by moving the away fans back into the old shit and giving us GH and London Road, even if it's only a few hundred, I think that's what we need to do, because we all need to be working together. We all need to be putting together and doing every little thing that we can to do something.
Yeah, Del, I actually think I agree with you on the Lincoln fans. They certainly weren't singing for the whole 90 minutes. If anything, actually, they were quiet for large periods. Yes, they were noisy when they scored their goals, but outside of that and towards the end of the game, when obviously they were winning 3-0, I didn't really think that they were that impressive. And look, they're 7 on the bounce without winning. I would have expected them to have brought 2,500 and filled that stand out. They certainly weren't. There was that little group of them, wasn't there, that were making a little bit of noise pre-match. But yeah, no, they weren't. They weren't going in that whole 90 minutes.
It bloody sounded like it, to be fair. But you know what I mean? I must have been falling asleep. But no, I thought when they were singing, they were very, very good, to be fair.
Right, should we go into some of the players? We've already mentioned quite a few, so I guess we can just touch on the ones we haven't. I'll start with Bass. Now, I know from the highlights that it looks really good on the replay, the free kick from Adam Reach. From behind, it looks great. But for those of us who were there, we know full well that Bass was on that side of the goal anyway, and he hesitated before he dived. And had he jumped at the moment that he should have done, I honestly think he would have saved that, as good as it looked. And I know it was bending outside the goal and came back in, and he still got a wrist to it. But any of you with me, I think that he should have saved it. Aside from that, his distribution was once again fairly poor. And if Bilo had done what Bass did for that third goal, we'd be calling for him to go back to Australia. So I'm really, really hoping here that he wakes up, because today just wasn't good enough. And frankly, there's been moments. His saves were amazing against Plymouth, but his distribution wasn't. And he had the kick into the ground against Huddersfield where he missed the ball, which he got away with. He actually had one against Plymouth that he got away with that's forgotten by most because they probably weren't watching. He needs to sharpen up in some of these areas, I think. And there's potentially a really, really good keeper there. But he needs to cut out some of these really sloppy moments.
Yeah, I left the ground. We did our ratings as soon as the game finished, and I gave Bass a 3 out of 10 initially. And I about a minute later, I thought, actually, that's really harsh. I've upped it to a 4. But yeah, the first goal, Harry, I actually think you're being generous. I think with free kicks like that, you put your wall there because you basically, it's a probability thing, isn't it? You stand on one side of the goal because you've got the wall on the other. And it's such a hard technique to be able to get the ball up and over the wall with enough power that the goalkeeper can't get across his goal to save it. And I just think it's really embarrassing if a goalkeeper gets beat at his near post or the side that he's on from a free kick like that. I've played in goal myself. I would be really, really, really pissed off of myself if I conceded that. And that's regardless of whether it's in the top corner. He literally could have just, if he was stood upright, he would have literally just needed to take one step and done that. But he hasn't, because he's expecting it to go over the wall. So you can see it in the replay. There's a really good angle. You can see he ducks under the wall because he's getting ready to dive to the other side. And then he's gone, oh, shit, it's not actually going that way. And he can't adjust his body in time. And I've seen a comment saying that no keeper in the world saves that. I'm sorry, it's just not true. I'm really disappointed with the free kick that he conceded. And that's without even talking about the third goal, which just left me speechless. When that happened, I honestly couldn't believe that I just watched that. And you said it at the time, actually, about Bilo, like, that's one of the worst goalkeeper mistakes we've had in the last few seasons. That's right up there with some of Bilo's worst mistakes. Letting the ball back, that must have been about a foot away from him. It winds me up when we let the ball bounce in our area full stop, and it happened loads today. But for it to happen that close to the goalkeeper, and again, there's a great angle of him. He comes running out, doesn't he? And then he stops, and he straightens up, and then you just watch the ball bounce. It's like, what is that all about?
Yeah, I am yet to be convinced by Alex Bass, and I don't want to hash over old ground, but I'm going to anyway. We had the mistake within the first 60 seconds at Huddersfield. We then had the one that he basically kicked into Joe Taylor that Joe Taylor then missed. So that's two in one game. Then, yes, he made a couple of good saves against Wickham, but again, kicking, ropey. Plymouth, two good saves, maybe three from memory. Yes, we've won the game. That's fantastic, clean sheet. But kicking, abysmal. Today, Lods, you've said it. There is simply no reason why, if that ball goes up and over the wall and into the back of the net and he stood still there, then you say, yeah, fair enough. Great, great free kick. But League One footballers can't do that 99 times out of 100. They do it one out of 100. So hedge your bets. Say, go on then, beat me, beat the wall, go over the top, move yourself over one step to the right, and literally, like you say, Lods, just take two side steps and catch it, then break with the team. The throw-in one, you said you get frustrated by letting the ball bounce in the box, Lods. Well, there was many episodes ago where we discussed this. Basics of football and things that you are taught at 6 and 7 years old is to not let the football bounce in your box. And yet we've got probably three defenders, a goalkeeper, two midfielders in there, and they've all somehow not managed to get a touch on the ball. Bass obviously shouldn't have come out to where he did. After the bounce, if he was in the middle of his goal, he probably would have collected it. And again, it's not a goal. But to have moved forwards and to have hesitated, that to me is a goalkeeper that is struggling for confidence at the moment, and that does surprise me, because you'd have thought after last week, obviously the one that he clawed back off the line, the one that he tipped onto the bar, you'd have thought that he'd be brimming with confidence. But either he's not got the confidence in the three or five in front of him, or he doesn't have the confidence in himself at the moment. But I am yet to be convinced by Alex Bass, which is a shame, because look, to go over what Jake said again, Jake said that he was one of the players that he was looking out for because he was one of the best goalkeepers in League Two last year. He just hasn't made the step up to League One at the moment.
Yeah, I don't want to knock the guy too much, because there was a good couple of catches he made from crosses that other goalkeepers in the past probably wouldn't have done. He tried to play the ball quick when he had the ball. Like Harry said, his kicking wasn't great again today. And that third goal wasn't just on him, like you say, Ashley. And even the player that scored, that's an unmarked man, isn't it? And he's basically, whoever's supposed to be marking that guy has got well away from it because of the issues that we had dealing with the throw in the first place. This is one of the reasons why I don't think it's Fergie's at fault, because we bought one of the best goalkeepers in League Two. You'd expect them to be able to make the step up. But like I said last week, I think Bass will have many good games for us this season, and hopefully this is just a one-off. I want to balance out the negativity around Bass with some positivity and talk about George Nevitt, who we jokingly said, didn't we, that we don't really want to give Nevitt man of the match again, because we seem to be giving him man of the match every week. And it looks like, I think we've had accusations that he's like a family member or something, but he was fantastic again today. In a game where we really struggled to get the ball out, he really tried, didn't he? There were so many times where as soon as a bit of space opened up, he just belted into it with the ball, laid it off to a midfielder, and every single time the midfielder just played it back to one of the centre backs. And it's just, It was so frustrating because on another day where the midfield actually showed up, I think George Nevitt would have been a 9 out of 10 today because I don't think there was a lot he did wrong defensively. And like I said, the way that we're using him, the same way that we use Ronnie, really, gets on the ball, he makes the nice little passes side to side, but then when that space opens up, he is making sure that he's making use of it. And that's something that we really lacked when we're trying to break teams down like today. And it hasn't gone unnoticed. We might have lost 3-0, but I think George Nevitt can be proud of his performance today.
I have to agree. I've been a strong sort of supporter, not supporter, been giving him a lot of praise all season. And whilst it wasn't his best game, I don't think he's done anything wrong, really. He's, he's come in there, he does what he's got to do. And this is how bad it is when we're sort of building up a 19-year-old as how good he's been and we've lost 3-0. You know, there's something fundamentally going on that's not good enough. But, you know, I think, as you say, Nevitt can hold his head up high. He had another decent game. I wouldn't say it's spectacular, but he had a decent game and probably a shining light, if I'm honest, of today. But I don't really have much more to say about the defence, if I'm honest. It was just disappointing.
Well, fortunately, I do have more to say about the defence, Dale. Tom O'Connor is actually my best defender for the day. I do appreciate that Nevitt had a few Ronnie Edwards style body feints, and that was nice. And he came out of defence nicely. I didn't give Nevitt a bad score. I actually didn't give Lees or O'Connor bad scores today. I think I gave him sixes across the board. But to be fair, I'd probably say O'Connor was the best of the marginally the best of the bunch. Just still looks composed. And I think if we're going to utilise him properly in games where we need to adjust, there's an argument that he could be the one that comes more into midfield, or he's actually at left back, properly left back, if we do move up, if we do move to a four at the back. And that cross in, the vision for that cross in to Jimmy J. Morgan, that was the thing that we needed at all game, really, was some creativity. And for it to come from our left-sided centre-back, it's a bit of an indictment on the midfielders. But it shows that he's got it at both ends of the pitch, I think. And he's just looked composed throughout his game so far, all four of them. I think he's bordering on a championship-level player, probably. He needs more ahead of him. For me, as I said, middle third and our three midfielders were the reason we lost today. But it's worth differentiating that I actually thought, despite losing 3-0, I'm sat here saying the defenders were actually all right.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? That, again, it's another heavy defeat where the defenders were probably our best players on the pitch. I think that, like you say, Harry, O'Connor's probably unfortunate to miss out for Wrexham and that he probably, with better quality around him, would look okay at that level. And again, today, he won his battles, I didn't really see a weakness in him. And he must be looking at his teammate to the left of him, Mendy, and thinking, goodness, did we play at the same team together? Like, are we the same standard? Like, it's very clear to see. And one of the things that I think it was John that mentioned when we brought Mendy in, you can tell that Mendy didn't play at all last season. He is well off the pace and just simply doesn't look up to it at the moment. And I do feel for the guy a little bit because being moved over to the right wing, like, it's just clearly not his game. And I don't think I'm going to judge him based on that because that would just be incredibly harsh, I think. But again, another one that at left back, I'm struggling to see what he offers and how he's going to help us going forwards. And it just clearly seems to me that is a position that we're struggling with. Like, if we've got Mendy that we probably don't think is good enough, we've got Mills who needs to learn his game. I'm not saying that he's the answer because he showed that in the first sort of five or six games that he's not quite ready for that level of consistency. And then, well, God forbid we ever see Adebisi again. That's three left backs who I probably wouldn't trust in this formation to do the job that we need to do, which is difficult, unfortunately.
I mean, if I'm going a bit more into it on Mendy, I mentioned on the last episode I was on, which was the Wickham one, that his going up and down the pitch is actually pretty good. So his positional sense is perfectly fine, and he's not afraid to get up there, which is what is needed in this system, contrasted to someone like Sparks or, to a certain extent, Mills. Or I think Mills has got it, the positional stuff down relatively well. But what Mendy does not have, and looks very much similar to Sparks, is just the moment you have to be in any way creative in trying to break the line when you're in the final third, not taking that risk, I'm going to pass it backwards. Every time, every single time, you've got to gamble. Like, the fans are going to forgive you if you attempt a through ball there and you don't, and you don't succeed. And it's damn frustrating when you're 2-3-0 down and you're trying to pass it backwards like that. I agree, though. I'm not in any way scoring him up or down for his right wing stuff. Like, again, that goes back to my point on Fergie. I appreciate there's a bit of a winger crisis, but surely you at least keep Mendy on the left wing if you're going to play him anywhere in up the field. Do we have any other comments on the midfielders? I know we touched on them earlier.
Yeah, look, the only real thing that I wanted to sort of pass comment on is that we've got Archie Collins. We've said that Archie Collins has been good in the last sort of two or three games, and I don't disagree with that. But today showed why Archie Collins and Matthew Garbutt are currently playing League One football. We have also been wax lyrical about Matthew Garbutt and how fantastic he is, but today, other than one pass to Jimmy J. Morgan, I really didn't see a great deal. He looked heavy. He looked like he couldn't cover the yards that he wanted to. And that's a similar story with Keller today. And it all goes back to what I said towards the start of the episode, is that if we're playing with those three in midfield, I'd like to see more legs and like to see more energy and running around from them, rather than just the taking the ball off the defenders, giving it back to them. They need to get up and support the two strikers. Like, we commented before that we had Brad up top on his own and we had Lindgren up top on his own. We're now playing a two, but ultimately those two are still isolated, which is a bizarre thing to say when it's just the two of them, because they're getting absolutely nothing from the two wingbacks and the three midfielders. And that was pretty much the way that it went today, is that we just couldn't close the gap. And I think that the midfield have not been set out to do that today. So this is the thing that it always comes back down to. They've got to take some on-pitch responsibility to realise that, yes, maybe they've been told to do this, but it's not working. So can we do something different? Can we rotate around? Can we move the ball a little bit faster? Can we do it in different angles? And I didn't see that from any of the three midfielders today, unfortunately. And then you just sort of have to feel probably semi-sorry for the two guys that we've got up front, because they're not receiving any help and support.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I would say if I was to contrast JJ and Leonard, that JJ's obviously managed to peel off twice into very good positions. And up till now, Leonard, who I think we've all been relatively happy with his performances, but a large part of our happiness with him has been the fact that, despite only being probably 6 foot tall, he's been pretty good in the air, and that he's been able to hold the ball up well and spread it out. He didn't do that today. Like, he did not win those headers. I can't remember if he was up against Sonny Bradley or the other centre-back, but he was just beaten to it. And there was one in particular in the second half that was just so frustrating when the centre-back got ahead of him that, it was a bat. I remember it was a Bass goal kick, one of the actually good ones. And he essentially had it. He'd managed to get a yard, and the header just wasn't good enough and didn't go to anybody. And yeah, this was his worst game, and let's hope his head doesn't drop, because obviously it's another game without scoring. Today was a game without even any chances for him. I do think he could have peeled off more. And to your point, Ashley, about the fact that the players need to adapt, he, I think, should have realised he needed to come a bit wider to support the wing back at times. And him and JJ both stayed so centrally throughout, caused part of the isolation problems. And if we're going to say the players need to have a bit of nous, that's got to be part of it on Leonard.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And Harry, you said, well, which centre-back was it that Leonard was on? I think at half-time he actually switched sides with Morgan, because he wasn't getting any purchase from Sonny Bradley in the first half. He switched on to Jackson into the second half, and it was a similar story. They obviously made that substitution as well, and he didn't get a great deal from that. It very much feels like we've taken one step forwards and two steps back now. And I like you, Harry, I hope that this squad doesn't get too downbeat about the performance today, because they are still, I want to sympathise with them. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I want to give them a little bit longer, but how can we? Like Del mentioned towards the start of the episode again, every single game that we don't pick up points is another game closer that we are to relegation, because the teams around us are all losing as well. It would be so easy to pull out of this, but our next games are Bolton, Stevenage. Are we going to get anything from those? And then that's another 0 points from those. Like, it's concerning, and you've got to look ahead. Like we said, I think I said 10 points from the next 5 games. Well, we're now 3 points from 2 of them. So we need to pick up 7 points from our next 3. And I can't, after today, I can't see that happening, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think with the strikers, they probably just needed a bit of support from the midfield. I'd slated Leonard last week for not taking his chances. You know, there was the penalty that he missed, obviously, and then the one towards the end of the game. I have to say the same for JJ today, because he's had 2 very good chances and he's not scored either of them. And whilst the ratings are probably harsh because of that, I do think that the 2 of them together give us so much more than what we've had in the last season before even. I think that there's so much more energy in that first final third. And there was so many moments towards the end. I mean, I touched on it earlier when we were 2-0 down, where with a bit more support, I think we probably would have scored some goals. There was one moment in particular. Harry Leonard had the ball on the left. He did really well to beat the fullback. He got it all the way to the byline. And there was only one thing he could do, and that was to hit an under-hit pass or cross. There was no way he was going to be able to get any welly into it, especially on his weaker foot. He's cut it back, and JJ's recognised that he's going to have to cut it back, and he hasn't quite got there in time, but it shouldn't be him. It shouldn't be him there. And it wasn't just JJ was the only one that was in the box. It wasn't even just that. There was not a single other Posh player in that third whatsoever. And I mean, I've said it before, I think we just need to go back to playing a 10, someone behind them. If we're not playing with those wingers that are, you know, running at the fullbacks and getting into that final third, we need someone in the middle of the pitch doing it.
Do you know what? The last set of people that we haven't discussed, other than Captain Useless Abraham Otto, is the subs. And I actually do sympathise with them all today. They've all come on once we were at least 2-0 down. And it's difficult to turn around, isn't it? When you're chopping and changing and doing all of those sorts of things. We had obviously have Woods, Lindgren, Akagbu and Lolos all come on. And not to just completely bypass all of their performances, but did any of them really do anything well, or did they do anything wrong? I'm not entirely sure that they did. There was one moment for Akagbu where actually I think he did really well not to give away a penalty, because the defender had got in front of him and he was trying to get the ball back, and he managed to manoeuvre himself so that he didn't give away that penalty. So maybe credit where it's due. Lolos, you know, comes on, he's got 6 minutes. Like, what can you do with that? The only thing that he did do is misplace a pass, and that's disappointing because it was a relatively routine pass. Lindgren had an absolute touch of a trampoline today. I can't defend that. And Ben Woods actually was probably the one that should have marked the man for the third goal, if I watched back the highlights correctly. But again, the man's got the run on him, and he's probably not going to beat him in the air, is he? So it's a difficult one for the subs today, I think.
You forced me into a criticism of you here, Ashley. Lindgren did not have a touch of a trampoline today. He made one error. He misplaced one pass. The rest of it was fine. And what I was going to bring up, to his credit, and this is a good example of why you should go to games, because there's things you're always going to miss on TV. There was a moment where Lindgren recognised that their centre-backs were out of position, and he made a run into a channel when Tom Lees was on the ball. And if Lees had spotted it and put it over the top, Lindgren would have been through. Unfortunately, it was not spotted. Lindgren's hands both go up in the air, and obviously he then gets his classic pelters of apparently having a trampoline touch when he didn't. But I saw it, Gustav. I saw the run, even if Tom Lees didn't, or Ashley.
So we are actually going to do the praise based on one of these Premier League runs that nobody can find. You are correct. Sounding more and more like DMAC every single day. Maybe my comments on his touch were harsh, but that's what I saw today.
Right, shall we move on? What a terrible game. And a final comment, Lincoln, fair play. Very, very, very good. It, mainly because of effort, more than anything else, and that's going to take you a long, long way. Having seen that, if I'm trying to think, we've seen Bradford here, we've seen Barnsley here, we've seen Wickham here, we've seen Luton here. That was the best all-round performance, I think, of all of them, wasn't it? It's fair to say. Anyway, Villa on Tuesday night, Villa under 21s. How much are we all rotating? Do you want to put that sorry lot back out there to try and redeem themselves? Lods, what are you doing for this game?
Well, before I knew about the Hayes injury, I was fully prepared to come on tonight and say that we should play 4-2-3-1 against the Villa under-21s. I would have suggested playing Odo on the wing, now he's back, and I would have suggested playing Hayes on the other wing. However, now Hayes is injured, I just, like I said earlier, can't see us going back to wingers. Now, it's going to be difficult to go into a game like this without rotating quite a lot, just based on our squad size. But I think this game is going to have quite a lot of importance, purely because, let's be honest, Fergie's job is under threat. It might not be as much as what people are making out, but he needs to get wins. And if we lose against Villa under-21s, that basically puts us out the Virtue Trophy. And you could argue that the Virtue Trophy saved Fergie's job last season. He won't have that blanket now this season if he gets knocked out in the group stage. And actually, to the point where I think McCann will use that against him if the form in the league doesn't pick up rapidly. So I think Fergie's going to go into this with a must-win attitude. And I think, based on that, there's probably a lot of players that will miss out. I think he's going to rotate the goalkeeper, isn't he? I think Reyes will play. I don't think the back line will change that much, if I'm honest. I think Okagbu might come in, but it's too soon for Hughes, isn't it? Wallin's still gone. What can he do with it? We've seen today the wide areas, we're already struggling for players, so we're probably not going to make too many changes there. We might see James Donnelly, we should hopefully see Harley Mills. And then, yeah, I mean, what, midfield, you're looking at Lolos maybe coming in, but again, it's a big risk to take. And then up front, are we going to play Lindgren with one of the current two? Possible. I mean, JJ Morgan can't play 90 minutes. It's probably a good opportunity to see how he copes with 90 minutes. But again, I think this is a risk that Fergie will probably look at and think, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try and win this game. I'm going to put out a strong squad. I'm going to structure my substitutions like he has been and not take anything to chance.
Yeah, so I remember back to when we played Leyton Orient, and that was very much the it's time for Fergie to go episode when we reviewed that, because we got battered by them, didn't they? They went down to 10 men and we just didn't win. I've run through a sample 11 of what I think that we will end up playing. And I actually think there's going to be a lot more change, because I think that Fergie's got to get minutes into some of these players' legs. Reyes in goal, Oz, like you said. I think that CJ plays right wing back, JD, Okagbu, and Nevitt will then play as the centre back. Mills comes in. I then think we have O'Brien, Brady, and Woods with a 45 minutes each for Keller and Collins. Because that's Fergie likes to do that in this competition with his midfielders. He gives them 45 minutes each, so they both get a run out. And then we would then have Lolos and Gustav up front. Now, that is brain rot, if ever I've seen it. And I can feel the steam starting to come out of my ears. And just to sort of reflect on where this squad's at and that 11 could potentially be at. That is the 11, give or take a few, that we started the season with, that have all basically been banished to the under-21s to go and beat Wigan's 18 and 19-year-olds. Aston Villa are going to come, and their goalkeeper that is most likely to start is one Sam Proctor, who used to be in the youth team for Posh, and most recently, I believe it was on Thursday night, was sat on the bench in Aston Villa's Europa League game. So if that doesn't tell you about where we're at the moment, then I really don't know what else is. But like you said, this... there aren't many games in the Virtue Trophy that you really feel like, oh yeah, we need to get up for this because it's an absolute must-win game. But Tuesday night, is going to be one of those, because I think it could end up being absolutely rotten if we don't get a result on Tuesday against Villa's under 21s.
It's definitely a catch 22 game. You know, do you rotate or do you use it to build the team that is trying to improve, you know, to get a confidence boost in there or give it a time to, so they can start gelling together. Because it's not as if half these players need a break, because they haven't really been putting the shift in during the 90 minutes they've been playing. So I don't really know. I personally would not go for a big overhaul of the team. I would keep the nucleus of what we've got, maybe the odd one or two. But we, as you say, Ash, it is definitely a game that I do genuinely believe we need to win to try and get a bit of morale going. We lose it, we're out of the cup. You know, we're second from bottom in the league. What have we got to look forward to? You know, what have we got to look forward to? So let's, I don't think there should be too many changes, and we definitely do need to go out and win this game. If we lose it, I don't even know what to say, mate, but not too many changes.
I think we get a few changes in, to be honest. And I don't care about going out. We've obviously had two great days out at Wembley, but we have a 31-man squad, and we've got to think about making sure that if there are other options to help us get out of this situation, that they have a chance on nights like tonight. So for me, I'd be going Reyes, CJ, Akagbue, take it or leave it on the other centre-back, one of Neville, O'Connor and Lees. Definitely get Mills back in. Would I go for someone like De Havilland in the midfield? Probably not. I think it's going to be Woods and, as Ashley said, a 45 minutes each between Archie and Keller. And then, yeah, got to start Lindgren. Got to start Oddo. Probably JJ. I agree with what you said, Lods. Get JJ on for 90 minutes. See if you can do it up there with Lindgren. And that obviously leaves the right wing being a little bit confusing. Maybe Lolos again, just to get the minutes in. But we've got to make, in my opinion, to play, say, nine of the players who played today, the starting 11, we were part of the 11 today, I think would be foolish given the situation on multiple fronts, not least the fact that we need to see what the rest of the squad's got. They deserve a chance.
In general, about the Virtue Trophy, I'm not going to say I hope we lose, because obviously I hope we win every game. I hope we can put some of these players in that don't get to play very often. I hope they put in a good performance. But if we win this game and we go through and we get far in the Virtue Trophy, maybe we'll go to Wembley again, maybe we'll win it again, but we have the same performance in the league that we did last season, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not going to buy into the whole three-peat thing. I'm not going to buy into we were successful because we got another trophy. Something has to change, regardless of where we are in the Virtue, regardless if we win it or whether we get knocked out on Tuesday. Something has to change, because we can't have the same season in the league as we did last season. So I have to say, as much as I'm going to go to the game, as much as I'm going to support Posh, as much as I hope we do get to Wembley and win, if our league form doesn't pick up, I'm going to be pissed off if we try and shadow over it with this giant trophy that we've won that at the end of the day is pointless compared to what we do in the league.
All right, we're there. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to any Lincoln fans that have listened. I'm sure you've relished actually getting a win away at London Road for once and getting it handsomely as well. But with that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. Was we not reviewing the under 21s, or have I moved on from that? Are we already out of the week? I'm so fucking tired.